Well, those are basically the nuts and bolts of it. Of course, these folks are able to untax themselves in the same method. They could get 25% of the people who had voted it in, permit holders, not the exact people that did it, but just that number, and they could ask for a new election to untax. So there's a way to opt in and a way to opt out. That's about the nuts and bolts of it. I think it's a good avenue. What it really is an expression of the fishermen across parts of the state saying we would like to have this vehicle so that we could develop ourselves, willing to tax ourselves, and start to move our seafood industry forward. Happy to answer any questions.
Well, I have Mr. McKeown here to testify. Maybe we could have that testimony and then would generate more questions or it might answer a few.
It might answer you,
sir. Gary?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry McKeown. I represent United Fishermen of Alaska. There's a lot of fishermen in the state excited about this bill. So, as the sponsor said, grants are drying up, and it's getting tough to find money to build ice machines and do certain things. In a lot of fisheries, this would raise, you know, $200,000-$300,000 if you went at the 1% range. In some fisheries, be able to do some of those things. I know that in Cordova, you know, we're doing posters. We're doing table tents for restaurants, and we've been struggling with grants every year, trying to get grants, and those are, you know, rapidly going away. Plus, administration costs is not included in the grant most of the time, so you have to pay a person to sit there and run the computer. And so it's a pretty exciting thing where we could get away from trying to get grants or other seeking federal money and be able to finance ourselves and work with the processors and others in the community, the cities, to put these promotional programs together to get more value out of our salmon and also work on our quality problems that we have in certain areas of the state by putting ice machines in remote areas and being able to do things like that. So this, the only way I could see that we could get some bigger money in the pot to be able to do things faster, Mr. Chairman.
In previous discussions we've had here on fishery tax issues, even self-imposed one, there wasn't unanimous support for that. Do you know of any opposition for this bill?
I would imagine there, Mr. Chairman, there is some fishermen who probably, when you talk taxes, it's just like anything, they get worried. But if you don't have a use for this money, you have to convince, your fleet to take this on and have election. You're going to have to do some education to that fleet to convince them to why you want to use the money, what the money's going to be used for. And plus, every fisherman gets to sit on the committee that's in that particular fishery. So they all get to have their say. So it'll be work to get out there to actually push something like this through. And some areas probably don't have a need for it or won't have a need for it for a while until they do have a little separate fisheries. When you break it down, Mr. Chairman, by certain fisheries, there's some gillnet fisheries I see in the state that could probably do this right away and try to get this passed once it's on the books. And other fisheries, like seine fisheries, would be a little bit more complicated and probably have to be really thought through and talked through to whether that's going to be a benefit to them.
Questions for Representative Ogg or Mr. McKeown, Senator Stephen.
One of the long discussions in the Salmon Task Force had to do with the voting itself, Representative Ogg. And could you talk about that? What the final decision was? It looks like it's a simple majority vote. How do you deal with latent permits? Are you just the majority vote of anybody who has a permit? Is that the final decision on how this bill is written?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens. Yes, exactly. There was discussion going to a two-thirds vote. There was discussion about latent permits laying out there. The end result of that, the Salmon Task Force recommendation was just go with the 50% of the actual permits voting. That's how the aquaculture ones were set up. It seems to work fine. I know in the Kodiak, the first time we voted, it failed. So we came back a couple of years later, and people started to see the benefit in it. But it's not an easy thing for people to make that decision. But I think the way it's laid out, it'll work well.
Representative Ogg, was there any discussion of something like a quorum? we can't have a vote here if just two people are present in committee. We need a minimum number of participants. Is there any discussion of something along that concept?
The chair, are you talking about voting in?
Yes, if you're going to vote something in, and it's 50% of the permit holders that vote, and it's only 10 vote, and there's 100 permit holders, that maybe not be reflective of.
I think part of the discussion on that was the mechanism in which the ballots go out, and knowing how fishermen are, being one myself, sometimes you don't get the notice. And so you actually are sent out two ballots, two separate mailings, and so that you're most assured to get everybody. And it's pretty clear what's going on, and it's in your high interest to participate. If you don't fish, if there's latent fishermen who aren't fishing, they won't pay a tax because they don't have any product that they're selling. So once they start to fish again, then they will pay a tax. So I have
2 minutes in the paper, too.
Mr. McCoon?
Mr. Chairman, I think there's two notices that we have to have in the region, in the newspaper. Two notices to permit holders, and I think there's one more notice somewhere. Or you have to send a ballot out twice, Mr. Chairman.
Send a ballot out twice.
Thank you. Other questions? Senator Seacon.
So, do you take this area, you look at the limited entry permits, you look at use permits, the eligible interim use permits that are out there, you determine what the universe is of people that should be in the election, and then if you get a majority of the votes cast, but is there any requirement to make sure that a ballot was ever received?
Other than mailing out, I'm sorry, through the chair, Senator Seacon, other than my understanding is mailing out two times to people with their known address, and they get the addresses from their limited entry permit cards or their interim use permit cards, so it's going to the address where they would actually pay. That's how...
But it's not a return receipt requested, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
No, and most of the elections that presently take place at the agriculture are done in the same fashion.
On your agriculture elections, do you know what level of participation you have in the eligible voters?
Well, I just don't, Chair, I just don't have an idea about that, do you?
Mr. Chairman, I think the first time when we did it at Pisswack in Prince William Sound, there was probably, there was a high interest, about 80% or something returned. Probably the same would be the case here. If you're talking about taxes and those discussions will go on through among the fleets, that you better pay attention if you get a ballot on taxes.
Well, this bill goes on to finance, where I haven't had a chance to look at it again, and I would just offer this for your consideration, and I'd like feedback on for a possible amendment that would suggest that an election wouldn't be valid unless you had 10 or 15% of the permit holders participating. Would you give that some thought and then just let me know before it's heard in finance? I don't know if that raises the comfort level for anyone, whether it's belt and suspenders or whether it's even needed. It just seems like, as it is now, you know, two out of three people could decide the issue. Now, I know a little bit about fishermen, and I doubt it would happen, but I also look at the general elections and the low voter turnout there, too. So,
one other question, if I could. Senator Seacon.
Are there other forms of notification that the election is coming under these statutes that would, like newspaper, et cetera, that's coming?
Mr. Chairman, in the bill, Senator Seacon, there's two ballots, but there's two notices in the region in the newspaper you have to put in, and two, at least a minimum of two public meetings.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else wish to testify on this bill? Hearing none, we'll close public testimony. The will of the committee. Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill number 419 out of committee. Is there an attached fiscal note?
Indeterminate.
Indeterminate fiscal note with individual recommendations.
Jean?
Senator French?
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Yes. So, 419 is on its way to finance. That brings us to House Bill. You're welcome. That brings us to House Bill 464, Board of Real Estate Appraisers. This simply extends the sunset on the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers. We have a representative from Representative Samuel's office here. The longer you talk, the longer it's going to take us to pass this bill.
Okay. For the record, my name is Henry Webb, staff representative Samuel. The Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers is charged with establishing exam standards for the certification of real estate appraisers, adopting rules of professional conduct, and ensuring the observance of state and federal regulations within the industry. The legislative audit recommended that the board be extended to 2008, and that's what this bill does.
Questions? Anyone else like to testify? Close public testimony, will of the committee. Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 464 out of committee with the individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
And that takes us to House Bill 351, carbon monoxide poisoning. And thank you, Pat, for being with us. Do we have someone from the sponsor's office on carbon monoxide poisoning? We can. Yes. Will you be wearing your seatbelt when you testify on this bill?
If you would prefer. I always wear my seatbelt.
Fat tire is not your long suit, Cody.
Presenting bill.
I thought I was going to say neither is yours, and I'm sure he's smart enough not to do that.
Don't give him any ideas.
Both of the
Senator
sponsors
Prince.
Are on their way. So
oh.
If you want, I can.
Well, let's begin. As I, we were happy to listen to you. So please, if you would, present the bill.
House Bill 351, carbon monoxide detectors, bill that Representative Gatto and Gruenberg introduced this session in response to public outcry over tragedies that have not just occurred in Anchorage, but occurred throughout the state over the last several years, hoping to address what they feel is a public health concern, both in the immediate short term, in that several families have actually died from carbon monoxide poisoning, but in the long-term effects that occur in children and in adults as well. Yeah.
There is a current, is it a current state law that requires a smoke detector, or is that local ordinance? Excuse me.
There is current state law that requires a smoke detector in every domicile. And for the record,
Representative Gruenberg, welcome.
Thank you.
We just began a discussion of your bill, and Cody did present the sponsor statement. Would you care to make some opening comments?
Not unless you have questions. I'm sure he did a great job, and you've got other fish to fry.
Well,
it's a good
I
bill.
Asked him if he was going to wear a seatbelt when he presented this bill, but I don't think he got the
I would.
Barb.
All right.
Questions for Representative Gruenberg? Levity aside, the family that did die was a personal acquaintance and does live in my district.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And the tragedy is, of course, they did have detectors that weren't working. And that also occurs far too frequently with smoke detectors. Batteries are needed for toys or something.
I think maybe Kelly Nicolello's on the phone. I'm not sure.
She is here to answer questions. Do we have questions for Ms. Nicolello? Mister, excuse me.
He's the deputy fire marshal.
I don't see any questions, Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for House Bill 251 out of committee with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us ever so briefly.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Senator Frank?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
Yes. So we have moved HB 351 on to its next committee referral.
Did we ever get 340?
That will bring us to the end of our stack of bills. On Thursday, I've asked that people involved in the Primera Blue Cross Blue Shield conversion stop by and give us an overview. This does have, I think, substantial potential interest for this committee, and would like to get us up to date on what they are doing. We also have confirmation hearings for Alcoholic Board Control Board, State Assessment Review Board, Board of Marine Pilots, and Alaska Workman's Comp Board. There are all three House bills that have been requested. Those would be 18-year-olds in restaurants, tax, that's HB 430, HB 423, taxi cab liability, and HB 418, extending real estate commission. If there's nothing more to come before the committee, with my thanks for a job well done and lots of work, we will stand adjourned at